Hi, Long Island. This is Suffolk AME President Dan Levler, and you're listening to 103.9 LI News Radio.
All right. Great to have him. You can always hear Dan on the second Friday of every month at this particular time. Let's not forget the great Sunday show. We'll talk about that as far as what he does on a Sunday morning right here on LI News Radio from 8 to 8:30. Suffolk Matters, tremendous show. The president of the largest independent union in the state of New York, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Levler. We're talking about the Association of Municipal Employees. Great to have you back, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. Keeping busy. You know, this has been, you know, very interesting. I don't know, you call it about a year and a half at this point. Things are good. Busy but good.
The great union representing folks, over 6,000 active and over 4,000 retired Suffolk County workers, give or take. The backbone, as I have said, as far as Suffolk County government is concerned in all aspects. I was thinking of you, Dan, because, you know, today, a big day, yesterday, a big announcement, the masks and everything else from the CDC and prevention. And a couple of things regarding the county where you had a countywide emergency telecommunicator staffing shortage due to a lot in part to the high attrition rates related to COVID and to increase staffing. I know the union called for that at the sub-county police emergency unit, and they have been answered. And I know it's a happy day within the confines of the union regarding this. Let's hit that first. Give us the lowdown there as far as what went on and where you at now regarding this.
Yeah, well, so, listen, this is, let me put it this way. You know, Suffolk County, and we've all heard about it time and time again, Suffolk County has always had this struggle between, you know, its revenue and the services it's able to provide. All know that last year really took a hit in certain ways, certain things that we were all accustomed to doing, we couldn't do anymore. Everybody not sure, you know, where is revenue going to land? How are we going to continue to provide services? And, you know, we're at a time in this country we're looking for economic recovery, right? So in doing that, one common sense measure is if you have departments, staff that are revenue generating, right? They actually bring in more money than it costs to hire them. There should never be a shortage there, especially at a time when we're looking for economic recovery. But there are other services that the county provides that, you know, it costs money to run. But these are essential. And, you know, when I say essential, you know, it's critical. It really is critical services. And when you talk about the people working in the call centers, whether it's 911 call centers or Fres or even out of the sheriff's office, these are critical functions that people are relying on, and they're universally calling on the worst day of their life, right? The worst thing that's happened, something really bad going on, and that service has to be there. But again, my perspective is, you know, constantly, you know, watching what these folks go through on a day-to-day basis. You know, they aren't getting calls about kittens and treats, you know. So day in, day out, very stressful job. On top of the stress of it, these are rotating tours. You can come in during the day shift for 5 days, and a few days later you're on the night shift. And then a few days after that, you're on the overnight shift. And so your life is constantly in turmoil. How am I getting the kids? How am I, you know, whatever it is that you have to do in your personal life, which is why we seek employment. You know, we want to trade time for money, and we need that money to do the other things that we need to do in life. It becomes very difficult for these folks to nail down what they're going to need to, especially when you're talking about there being shortages, and within those shortages, you can have planned your life to come in and work your shift, but if someone's unable to come in or you don't have enough staff, you'll have to stay because these services have to be provided. So it really is, you know, one of those functions that I think is very important, not just to us, but to everyone in Suffolk County to know that it's there, that it's available, that it works. The last thing anybody wants on one of the worst days of their lives is to call in for help and be put on hold. So, you know, we've been working for years on various levels, working with the administration, working with the legislature, working within the department itself, trying to find various different ways that we could kind of, you know, make this job a little bit more bearable for the people that are doing it. And when you talk about, you know, low staffing, you know, Suffolk County, when they hire for this position, it's hard to hold on to them, right? We're constantly finding that anywhere from a third to, you know, last year, almost 70% of the people who took a job and came in and said, yeah, let me help out in this way, said, you know what, this is not for me. And partly, you know, that comes into a very low starting salary. But in addition to that, very high stress because of the nature of the work, very high stress because of you know, this rotating schedule that's just kind of keeping your life in flux all the time. On top of that, not knowing whether or not when you go in to do your shift, that at the end of the shift, you can go home because you may be required to stay because these services have to be provided. So really what it comes down to is putting together a package that's attractive enough to get people to come on, stay on, and do this difficult and stressful job. And so we're going to be working with, again, partners in the legislature, with the administration, with the department, and even on the state level. There's all different things that we're looking to do to just try and make this a function that works in Suffolk County for everybody.
Stressful, tense. I mean, is there anything worse as far as making a phone call? And as Dan said, you put on hold, or the phone rings. Can't figure it out, right? And it's unbelievable. Yeah. It really is. It really is. Yeah. In a time of need beyond. So very interesting as far as what goes on there. Now, also, there's a couple of bills that I was reading about, right, Dan? In which,
yeah,
and they're all regarding first responder bills. And then if you can elaborate a little bit more on that.
Sure. So, you know, the big one really right now we're working on, you know, Senator Dianne Cervino, who I'll be speaking to this Sunday, by the way, we'll get to a little later, and Assemblyman Abate advanced bills that recognize folks in these call centers as first responders. And when you talk to the average person on the street and you say, hey, when you call 911 and that person picks up the phone, is that person a first responder? And generally they're like, yeah, that's a first responder. I like to think of them as the first responder, because if you can't get them, you can't get anything else.
Yeah.
But through tweaking the law at some point in time, New York State didn't recognize these people as first responders. And so, you know, we raised the issue and have been, you know, beating that drum in Albany. And now they are looking to make that legislation law in the state of New York that would impact all these emergency response call centers for all, you know, all the people in the state of New York that do this. So it'll capture, you know, Suffolk County as well.
No question. And that's big. That's huge, folks. Dan Levler with us, the AME president. What is your mindset now? So I know I'm feeling pretty good. You know, when the CDC comes out and says, you know, all right, here we go. And, of course, you know, we always hear about data science and all that jazz, in which you can discard the mask, you know, safely and everything else in the environment you're in. What is the mindset of you? You are the leader of this great union. Membership and everything else, hopefully getting back to speed. We've gone through some incredible times, we all know, unprecedented over the last 14 months. What is the mindset now? What's the feel as far as memberships or membership is concerned?
think everybody's hopeful to just, you know, move past this chapter, right? It is a challenging time in many ways, and again, government being central to how we handle all of the things that are going on inside of, you know, Suffolk County. So Suffolk County government really having an important role in making sure that everyone stays safe. But it's been a difficult process, I think. You know, to some extent, there are some people who weren't very concerned, and then there were people that were, you know, considerably concerned. And they're all working together. And so having new guidance and looking like things are going to start opening up, you know, all of that is, I think, very positive. And people want to be able to, you know, go back to normal. And I think, you know, normal is going to look a little different. But, you know, just being able to say, hey, you know what, the weekend, let's grab the kids and go, you know, to wherever you want, and you can actually go there. I think that's really going to just kind of pull people's tension levels down a little. And you know, we'll see where we get, you know. I mean, I don't want to assume that 2021 is going to be the year that this is behind us, because we're still going to get into the fall, and we've got to see what happens there. Do restrictions come back? Is there new guidance released because of, you know, another strain? You know, because we've seen that scare a few times. You know, this has popped up in this country. It's popped up in this country. All of a sudden, it's in New York. And what does that mean for us? So, you know, definitely very challenging time. Definitely feel as though people are looking forward to move past this, and easing some restrictions, I think, is really going to pull tensions down a little for everyone. You know, the only thing that I could really think of that's, you know, been a negative, that like, you know, comments that have come to me in all my various conversations, as trite as it sounds, is people are like, well, there's more people on the road now. You know, there was less traffic before. But yeah, that's a good sign. That means people are out, they're doing things, they're back to work, they're back, you know, stimulating the economy, all of that stuff. So generally speaking, positive, but I am a little reserved as to what may be, you know, later this year.
Kind of a wait and see. And listen, I think if I'm, you know, correct in saying, and we mentioned last time Dan was on, he won a third term as the president of the Suffolk County Association of Municipal Employees, a union that represents, ladies and gentlemen, 6,000 county government workers. It was a tough race, no question. But in essence, you know, as you kind of get back to business a little bit more, and it's been tough trying to navigate this ship, I would imagine, you know, it's going to ease a little bit on your end, too, you know, as you embark term three here. To really, and listen, one thing I've said about Dan, he has never taken his foot off the pedal, even in crazy times as what we've all been experiencing. But it certainly, you know, to navigate that ship a little bit better as a union president and everything else, it's going to free a little bit of the tensions, I would think, what you've been going through, too, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's an excellent point, and, you know, one of the things with a job like this is there aren't many people to turn to in the same boat, so to speak, right? There's other heads of other unions, and we talk to each other about different problems we have and, you know, how we're addressing them and whatever else, catching up, having a good flow of information, but none of us, you know, it basically in the history of any of our associations, you know, can turn to someone else and say, oh, well, you were around for the last global pandemic. You know, you were around the last time the county was facing a deficit of the size of about half their annual operating budget. You know, nobody really went through this before. These were uncharted waters. And listen, very necessary, time consuming, necessary. But, you know, in a way, very much for myself and I think my team, looking forward to getting back to some of the nuts and bolts, the advocacy that we really want to bring to the forefront. Like I said, at a time of economic recovery, we want to make sure that the staff is there in Suffolk County to provide the services necessary. When you have revenue-generating departments, they can help fund other functions that are, mandated services that maybe cost money to run, but that money is coming in through those revenue-generating departments. So really, staffing is a major concern. Suffolk County took a hit years ago, reduced staff across the board, and I think all departments and all the county unions are feeling that. So now is really a time where we need to focus on getting the good work that we do for the taxpayers in Suffolk County, and getting that up to speed, getting the staffing where it needs to be. So it's not going to be a slowdown for me so much as a shift. As we can ease through some of the COVID issues, that frees up time to get to the other issues that remain ongoing.
No question. Listening to Dan Levler, president of the Great Union, the Suffolk County Association of Municipal Employees. You guys have always had some big-time events within the confines of the union, whether it be the picnics, the concerts. You've always had some great events. Is that something that is kind of in the planning stages? Is it too soon to kind of plan those things? Do you have anything brewing as far as the summer months are concerned? What about that aspect? Kind of getting together, getting out again, little camaraderie, that type of thing. You have anything in the works?
That's very important. And that's, I believe in these events. I believe that when our members get together with each other and see people they know from other departments, share their experience, catch up with each other, and, you really feel like you're, part of one large group. So on the planning side of things, there are certain things that we hope will be allowed, but we're not sure yet, right? So some of these events, it's a large group of people. We don't want to say, only some people are allowed to, attend this or gatherings and gathering sizes, when you talk about something like the May Day Music Festival, you can have thousands and thousands of people there. And listen, there's room to do that, but, it's a very different experience when, you kind of got to stand inside of a hoop and not move outside of that hoop without following some sort of guidance and then monitoring all of that and everything. So really what it comes down to is what can we do and when can we do it? So some of the smaller events that we do, we're planning, and we are gearing up for the larger events for 2022 with optimism, right? Knowing that if we can't do it, we went through this in 2020, we're going through it in 2021, and, again, I and I think everybody else looks forward to the day when this is all behind us. But tying up resources and energy into something that doesn't seem like we can do in the immediate future, we're probably not going to do. But the things that we can do, we're in the planning stages and getting that going. Again, I think it is a very important function in this union to get people together, get them to talk to each other, spend a little time with each other, and see that we're all the same.
You know what? Eventually this will be fully behind us, and then we can enjoy each other and everything else that goes along with it. One thing that hasn't changed, my friend, is that fantastic show you put on a Sunday morning right here on LA News Radio. 8 o'clock, folks, you got to listen to it, where Dan talks to the people that are quite relevant in our world these days. And he does a great show. It's called Suffolk Matters. He's doing it for a couple of years. And the one thing I love about your conversations with these individuals is you get right down to the nuts and bolts. And And I tune in all the time, man. I tell you, it is a good, good show. It really is. Because you really hear from people that normally, you know, you wouldn't. And Dan has these one-on-ones. So I take my hat off to you, man.
Yeah, listen, Jay, I don't know if you're sick of hearing it, but it all started here. Honestly, you know, very first time on the radio, as nervous as you could possibly be, sitting down, talking with you. You made it very comfortable. You made it very conversational. And that was something that I learned from you right out of the gate. This week we'll be talking with Senator Dianne Cervino and Benny Bossio from New York State COBA, specifically about other pieces of legislation that are going through the state right now. And, you know, at the end of the day, this show is an opportunity to kind of peek behind the curtain. You know, there are the official stories that people hear. I kind of want to know the story behind the story in a way. I'm aware of certain processes in government and the way they work, so I can frame my questions a little differently, get a little different answer, and hopefully it educates everybody. You know, knowing how the process works, knowing what our members do and how they do it, knowing, you know, how efficiently that those general fund dollars get spent on public employees, and, you know, again, the legislative process and all of how these things mesh together, I think that goes a long way to getting people engaged in the process, and I think we're all better for it. The more people that are voting and aware of what they're voting for, I think the better.
Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock, it's a great show. It really is. And the one thing, you know, you can always put in play with Levler is, keep this in mind, folks, and I just thought of this while Dan was talking. You know, think about the unprecedented times that we've gone through. Think about all the threats of cuts and jobs and folks that would lose their livelihoods all during this pandemic. You heard them. I mean, the county said, listen, if we don't get money, we don't get help, guess what? We got to cut services. It's a union president's job to making sure that everybody is of the right mindset. That's what Dan did. And let's not forget that great job he did doing that. And I take my hat off to you in that regard, because I know a lot of people who, you know, they were worried, and rightfully so. And guess what? You kept them through the troubled waters and everything else, and finally, you know, the dollars did come through, and, you know, those jobs are going to be kept alive and everything else. So, you know, a lot of people like to take the hat off to you, Dan. Good job there. Wasn't an easy task.
Jay, I appreciate it because, you know, at the end of the day, public servants are in it for the people they represent. They want to be part of their community. They want to serve their community. To have, you know, the morale drop, not just because of all the stress pressure of COVID and the changes on the job because of COVID, but then on top of that, to have looming threat of loss of employment, you know, I think that would have been disastrous. Suffolk County facing, you know, almost a $75 million hole. But we were able to keep all the jobs, and that's, you know, yeah, that's, I'd love to say that's my job, but it's part of my job, yes.
It is, and you know what? Boast about it, because that was a tough task in these types of times. My friend, always a pleasure. We look forward to Sunday Suffolk Matters, folks, 8 to 8:30. Mark that on your calendar. It is a must-listen to, and we'll talk to you as we get into June and anything you need prior to that. You know you're here. You have a platform, I should say.
Absolutely, Jay. Thank you. It was great talking to you again, sir.